Duncan MacLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by Hewlett Packard Enterprise and their value-added distributor, Pinnacle. We're going to talk today about the impact of COVID-19 and the lockdown on small and medium enterprises in South Africa and Africa more broadly, how they're under severe pressure to reduce costs, and how IT can potentially help them get back on a solid footing as we emerge from what has been, for many people, a disastrous 2020. To talk about all of this, I'd like to welcome Deshan Woodley and Jeremy Lichtenstein to the podcast. Deshan is a business development manager at HPE for the mid-market enterprise, as well as the company's worldwide tech pro lead in South Africa. Deshan, welcome to the podcast. Jeremy is HPE Solutions Architect, a much easier title, I must say, and he's at, of course, at Pinnacle. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Duncan.
Right, so some context before we get this conversation kicked off. We know that things are bad out there, worse than any of us could possibly have imagined a year ago. We saw annualized GDP in the second quarter of this year falling by over 50%, and job losses in South Africa alone on the back of this lockdown are expected to run into the millions. So it's a horror show out there, and these are the sort of numbers you'd really only expect to see during wartime. Whatever you think of government's decision to put the economy into lockdown, and we're not to have that debate today, but whatever you think of it, we are in a very trying situation now, and that's particularly true, I think, for the SME sector. Big corporates, I think, tend to have a bit of a buffer for hard times, and that's very often not the case if you're a mid-sized enterprise. I think we're seeing many smaller companies hanging on for dear life now, while we often talk about how COVID has accelerated transformation like nothing before. It's probably not a top-of-mind issue for SMEs that are struggling to survive. Now, we're going to explore all of this in some detail and what IT can potentially bring to the table to help these companies cope through this crisis situation. Deshan, let me start with you. Why, in your view, should mid-market enterprises and smaller companies care about their IT setup at a time like this?
Hey, great question. So I think, you know, with COVID accelerating users or employees of organizations working remotely, there's been a big emphasis on security and quality of solutions and infrastructure. And it's quite key during a very difficult time like now, where companies need to be able to still remain afloat and ensure that their employees are still able to be productive during trying times while also still working remotely and also safely.
Right. So what can IT do through this? I know this is a very broad question, and we're going to be exploring in quite a bit of detail in this podcast. But Jeremy, what should smaller enterprises be thinking about how IT can help them weather the storm?
Well, I suppose, one of the biggest things I like to consider about IT is that it's supposed to be there to provide a service. So there's a bit of a... I suppose there's some people in the market that believe that downtime is acceptable, but if you've planned correctly, then you shouldn't actually be able to, downtime shouldn't actually be that big of a deal for you, because you know that you've put the relevant solutions in place to make sure that you can continue to operate as needed. I suppose a good example is that right at the beginning of lockdown where my fiber link dropped, that was when I suddenly realized, wow, I'm actually an essential service because I'm in the ICT industry. So I guess it's all about just making sure that you have the correct redundancies in place to ensure that in the event of a disaster, your business can continue uninterrupted.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Jeremy, I imagine that you interact with SMEs on a daily basis at Pinnacle. What are they telling you? What do they need to get through this?
Geez, I suppose systems that just work seamlessly, and when they don't, a capable support partner that can assist to get this issues resolved as quickly as possible. Yes. So I suppose a big part of that is whenever we are designing solutions, we're putting on HPE PointNext services to to ensure that in the unlikely event of an issue, the problem can be resolved as quickly as possible. But I guess it's also about aligning the correct types of support to the end customer's requirement. It's making sure that if it's a business critical service that they need to be up as quickly as possible, they have that level of support. If it's not too urgent, or if there's another system in place to cover that, giving them the option to have support come through the next day. Because in a lot of cases, we design solutions that they have a little bit of their own built-in, redundancy again,
yeah,
to cover the business in the event of a failure.
Yeah,
but I guess it's all about uptime at the end of the day.
Sure. And I think also just to add to what Jeremy's just mentioning, I think, you know, being South African consumers in our own personal capacities as well, and especially during a very trying time like now, it is imperative that we as consumers are able to procure solutions both in business and in our private capacities that add value for money. And if we look at what HP is doing to address our SMB market and our mid-market enterprise consumers, it's about adding value to our consumers. It's about giving them bang for their buck, ensuring that they have solutions that are future-proofed, ensuring that they have solutions that are robust, and also solutions that allows them to take that next step into the future. If you look at the for example, the trends of artificial intelligence and machine learning and deep machine learning, we need to ensure that our consumers, be it our entry-level SMB, our mid-market consumers, are equipped to handle those types of journeys.
So, Deshan, HPE is obviously a global technology company. Are you finding that in talking to your international colleagues that the mid-market sector, the SME space, is facing similar challenges across all markets in the world? Or are there unique challenges that these companies are facing in South Africa? And I'm thinking specifically possibly around load shedding issues.
Yeah, absolutely. The challenges experienced by a lot of our colleagues, especially in the emerging market countries like Brazil, China, and so forth, yeah, they absolutely are. South Africa is unique in the sense that we do have load shedding. So it is making it difficult for consumers to go about the daily routine of business. From an HPE perspective, we are trying and we're doing as much as we possibly can to address as many of the customers' concerns as possible by providing solutions that are affordable through our HP Financial Solutions offering. We're working with partners like Pinnacle to provide end-to-end solutions, so where we as HP may be able to only offer consumers a end-to-end compute and storage platform, we do leverage our value-added distributors like Pinnacle that can offer further services to our consumers, UPS technology and so forth.
Well, it's good timing that you mentioned that, Deshan, because I was going to ask you to take me through how HPE works with Pinnacle as a value-added distributor and your go-to-market strategy. I imagine you and Jeremy are kind of joined at the hip.
Yeah, absolutely. We probably speak to each other more often in a day than I think most people do. And I think that's the important part. It's about synergy. It's about making sure that we as HPE are fully aligned with our partner ecosystem. We are a channel-centric organization, so it is imperative to ensure that we are all on the same wavelength, if you want to call it, with our partners like Pinnacle.
Yeah.
Pinnacle being a part of the Alviva Holdings company or Holdings organization, it is important for us to be closely aligned with the team from Pinnacle. Resources like Jeremy that are solutions architects are quite key to us, as we believe the solutions architects help us drive our value-added strategy and messaging from a technical perspective to our consumers and our resellers.
Okay. Jeremy, maybe take us through how you work with HPE.
Jeez. So I suppose I'm the bridge between the typical reseller and end customer and HPE themselves. A lot of my work's around looking. So HPE has quite a broad portfolio of products. So yeah, it's up to me to know as much about all of those products as possible and to also try and steer the customers and resellers based on their actual requirements. Also, often I'll get told about a specific requirement or spec and the customer's particular way that they want to go ahead with it. And then I can turn around and respond with maybe perhaps there's a newer technology that would suit the business much better. So I guess it's just about aligning the right solution offerings with the right requirements. Sure, that's pretty much the majority of my role.
Okay. All right.
Like I suppose from my perspective, I want to make sure that the end customer is getting the correct solution so that in 3 to 5 years' time, they come back to me and say, wow, your solution really helped our business grow. We didn't realize that IT could actually give us so much benefit. So as a result of that, we'd like you to help us further on our journey. Because ultimately, with a lot of these solutions, in a couple of years' time, and often even before they reach the end of that that period, they'll need to do some form of upgrade. So it's also about making sure that whatever solution we put down can be upgraded, because you should never have to rip out all your infrastructure. It should be able to grow with your business as you grow.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I think let's start to get into a bit of the nitty gritty, or call it the meat of the podcast, and talk about some of the solutions that HPE offers the mid-market segment. And I must say, Jeremy and Deshan sent me some light reading over the weekend on all of this, and turned out to be some pretty voluminous stuff. So thanks, guys, for that. But luckily, if you're listening to or watching this podcast, we're going to run through all of this in fairly short order and give you a good overview of some of the solutions that HPE brings to the mid-market segment. Now, we've divided this into four broad categories, namely growth with speed and efficiency, intelligent IT management, affordability and sustainability, and IT storage and predictability. Let's start with growth and growth with speed and efficiency, which is about solutions that are designed for innovation and automation and helping IT focus on enhancing business operations rather than simply keeping the lights on. Deshan, maybe take us through this category. We're talking about, I see quite a lot of jargon here, nimble DHCI, HCI 2.0. What does all this stuff mean?
Great question. So as Jeremy mentioned to you in the previous question, it's important that we provide solutions to our consumers that is future-proofed. And if we were to look at the consumers, be it our SMB market and our mid-market market, mid-market customers, the gap between both is quite close. So it's important for us to provide solutions to our consumers that can help them start off with a solid foundation, yet also grow and scale out and scale out and scale up. So one of the newest acquisitions to the HPE portfolio recently has been Nimble Storage. And through the acquisition of Nimble Storage, we as HPE have been able to further enhance our portfolio by developing further solutions. So DHCI stands for Disaggregated Hyperconverged Infrastructure. And HCI 2.0 is basically our 2.0 version of our hyperconverged offerings, be it from a SimpliVity and our Nutanix OEM offerings that we do have to offer as well through as HPE. Now, if we were to look, Duncan, at hyperconverged infrastructure, while hyperconverged infrastructure is amazing in what it can offer a consumer from a value-add perspective, it is also targeted at a very specific customer. And in order to try and address the concerns from a pricing perspective, HPE have come to the market with the Nimble DHCI offering that is our disaggregated hyperconverged infrastructure, which can offer a consumer similar performance and similar benefits as a hyperconverged infrastructure, while also being a lot more affordable for consumers. And I'll allow Jeremy, if he wants to, touch on a little bit more as well.
Well, before we hand over to Jeremy, can you maybe just explain what hyperconverged infrastructure is? I think there may be SMEs listening to this and thinking, wow, this sounds very technical, but what does it actually do for my business? And what is DHCI specifically? What practical things can I do with it?
Oh, absolutely. Great. So DHCI is basically, it's made up of our, if we were to look at the building blocks that makes up a DHCI offering, it's made up of our Nimble storage offering. It's made up of our three ProLiant server offering. And it's also made up with some intelligent software with some SAN switches on the back end to kind of pool everything together and position it as a disaggregated environment where a consumer can be able to use it for virtualized environments. They could use it for their SQL, their Exchange databases. They could use it for a multiple use case for their environment. I would say the Nimble DHCI offering is a lot more all-round offering to offer a consumer that can start off with. The good thing about the Nimble DHCI offering and the way in which HPE has put it together is A consumer does not need to buy or start off with the entire DHCI offering as is, as I mentioned it. A consumer could start off with, for example, if it's an existing HP consumer and they have an existing ProLiant servers, they could buy the Nimble storage, buy the software, and then create their own DHCI offering. So it's a very flexible offering, and it helps consumers to build their offering in pieces should they want to go down that route. Hyperconverged infrastructure is slightly different. Hyperconverged infrastructure is basically using our ProLiant DL380 servers or DL360 servers, using some very smart software and a specific SimpliVity OmniStack card. We're able to create an environment that is pretty much made up of a server technology that's got built-in internal storage, and it's a lot more compact, if you want to call it. It addresses a very specific market, specifically for customers wanting to save on a licensing cost, for example. Citrix, it's aimed purely for, I would say, our ISP type customers. It's aimed at financial institute customers because it's a very high performance solution that has a very specific niche market offering for it. However, from an SMB perspective, we have configured some very interesting solutions on our Nimble, on our SimpliVity HCI offering, utilizing some very creative configurations through our factory and our laboratories.
Jeremy, why should customers be considering these solutions at this time?
I guess ultimately it just comes down to uptime. Uptime and performance. So if we're talking about hyperconverged infrastructure being the SimpliVity stack, what's the best way to put this? Like Deshan was saying, it includes what's called the OmniStack card, which is basically a hardware accelerator. So it's moving a lot of the workload away from your CPU onto the accelerator card, so that the processing and memory functions are reserved for the actual business operations. Then all the fancy systems like deduplication and compression can happen in the background. You're also spreading your risk across multiple nodes, so that if something happens to one of your servers, the workload can seamlessly be moved onto one of the other platforms. You can also take it a step further, where if you have multiple branch offices connected to your site, if you've got a particular virtual machine that can operate more efficiently at the remote office rather than at head office, just because the majority of the users are based there, that workload can then be placed at that branch office. And then you can also integrate a little bit of a DR component into this, where if something were to happen to, your head office or maybe some of your branch offices as well, and you can have a couple additional nodes depending on the requirement at a hosting facility. There's a very good use case on a SimpliVity environment where this company failed over to DR within 23 seconds. Wow. And in about 23 seconds, I don't think any of your users are going to even notice that the company was momentarily down.
Yes.
So I guess from a DHCI perspective, like Deshan was saying, so the technology is very similar. It's just instead of having everything consolidated into a collection of servers that are each configured in the same way, you split the solution out into its individual components. So you'll have your Nimble storage with your DL380 or 360 servers, even AMD offerings in the form of the DL325 or 385. And then we take it a step further and add Mellanox switches, which have they pretty much started a 25 gig uplink to make sure that your solution is connecting as fast as possible. Like Deshan was saying, the reason you would go with the DHCI offering is either because you want to make use of your existing infrastructure so you can grow into the solution, or as our colleague Sorrel Nordia likes to compare it with, is making a salad. So if you just need storage, you add storage. If you just need compute, you add compute. So as Sorrel would say, if you want more avocado, you have more avocado. If you need more tomatoes, you have more tomatoes. You're not having to buy an entire bowl of salad for the sake of extra avo.
Didn't think so we were going to be talking about salads in this podcast, but good analogy. The next category, guys, is intelligent IT management. Now, I understand this is about using data to plan for growth and predict problems before they happen. Deshaun, tell us a bit about the solutions here that HP offers in this space.
Oh, wonderful stuff. Yeah, so it's quite key that the solutions that we offer our consumers are intelligent and that are able to also be accessed via remote. We want to try and offer solutions to consumers that's easy to manage, easy to grow. So from a daily perspective, we want our customers and consumers to do what it is that they do best in their own individual businesses. So if we look at some of the technologies that we've incorporated into some of our in our solutions, like HP OneView technology, which is a single pane of glass management console that basically helps the consumer manage their environment holistically. So the OneView console basically helps the consumer manage their storage, manage their networking, manage their server compute environment, as well as their software environment. So it gives them a holistic snapshot of where the environment is on a daily basis, and it's all real-time live tracking. So that is one of the key components. If I were to just mention, Duncan, I engage with a multinational, Siemens, and we've recently deployed a solution for consumer in Ghana. And using the OneView technology, we were able to use resources from 5 different countries to deploy the solution and get the solution working. Usually, a solution of this magnitude or this size would require engineers and system developers and application developers from multiple different countries to be all in the same facility physically. However, using the OneView technology, we were able to accelerate that journey, get the solution deployed, as well as ensure that it's done seamlessly, but all remotely, especially during a time like now, during COVID, when the solution was meant to go live. And we were able to still continue that journey. Some of the other interesting features that we have included in our solutions from an HP perspective is our InfoSight technology. Now, InfoSight is our artificial intelligence that we've actually incorporated from Nimble. So during the journey of the acquisition of Nimble Storage, one of the key components that HP used from the Nimble acquisition was InfoSight. Mm-hmm. And now we've taken InfoSight and we've included it into our entire ProLine server range of servers, which is available from an SMB market. We've included it from our Nimble to our 3PAR to our Primera storage and above. Now, InfoSight is a predictive analytic artificial intelligence platform that helps our customers manage their environment. So it does a lot of interesting and a lot of intelligent workloads on the background that help consumers prevent, like Jeremy touched on at the very beginning, downtime is something that is not acceptable. And the artificial intelligence on the background helps us prevent downtime.
Fascinating. Now, you've also got a solution called ILO.
Yes, ILO. So ILO Silicon Root of Trust. It is noted, and our listeners can Google this. The HP ProLine servers is regarded as the industry standard, probably most safe servers out there, purely because the ILO Silicon Root of Trust is an additional facility that we've embedded in all of our ProLine servers. It is pretty much, if I could explain in layman terms, pretty much a little machine that's based on our servers that sits between our CPU and CPU on the main board, as well as the chipset. And what the ILO does is it aids in additional cybersecurity functionality. And the ILO is something that we use beyond just the, from a cybersecurity perspective. It also helps during deployments of servers. And Duncan, if I may touch in again, if I were to use the Siemens Ghana solution and how we deployed it, ILO added massive benefit to our consumer to be able to access the servers remotely, safely, and do what they needed to do without having any disruptions to the business.
Jeremy, any thoughts on this? Anything you want to add to what Deshaun has said before we move on to the third category?
Just so, yeah, well, I guess, you know, Deshaun covered it quite extensively. I suppose to add on it, so the Silicon Root of Trust is also saying that HPE they manufacture their own silicon. So there's no chance of someone tampering with that chip from the time it's get well while it's getting to the factory, because it's all done in-house by HPE themselves. So it ensures that the server that you receive is a secure device from the word go. But your ILO is basically the management and monitoring interface for all of these servers. So it connects with your OneView dashboard. So you can do deployments to thousands of servers based on templates, all in one go. I guess it just allows you to manage your infrastructure as seamlessly as possible.
Okay, thanks for that.
And I mean, just to add to that there, Duncan, sorry to break your word. I think, you know, it is important to understand that a server is not a server. And if we were to look at what HPE includes in our ProLiant range of servers with ILO, with OneView, and with InfoSight, these are all additional functionalities that actually aid in a consumer in the journey of deploying their workloads. ILO aids quite a lot in especially during times like now where consumers need to be able to make sure that their environments are 100% secure. If I look at some of the alarming statistics on cybersecurity, for example, the healthcare sector had over 4 million cyber attacks during COVID. That's 4 million consumers that had their medical records hacked from around the world. Now, are we saying our servers are 100% hack-proof? We cannot say that. I mean, the reality is everything that's designed can have a breakthrough. However, ILO adds or gives a consumer the additional layers of protection that can slow down the process during a cyber attack, especially, and it'll aid in instances for what we call cyber resilience. And cyber resilience is basically how long can a customer's environment stay up and running during a cyber attack. So having features like ILO, having features like OneView, and especially InfoSight, aids in security. So when consumers speak to me in business about a server being a server, I always see it slightly different, because a server is not a server. It's the intelligence that separates HPE from the competition.
Yeah, I see. I get press releases in my inbox every day from security companies saying that cybersecurity incidents and attacks have skyrocketed during the lockdown worldwide, and that this is driven in part on the back of the work from home measures that have been introduced and attempts by cyber criminals to probe those weaknesses. I imagine it's a huge challenge, Deshan. I mean, especially for smaller companies that. You know, that are struggling to keep the lights on and keep their businesses open. You know, the last thing they want to be thinking about right now is how to stop some cyber criminal from breaking into their network.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, if I were to look at some of our consumers that we work with nationally in South Africa, as well as holistically in the world, having these added pieces of resilience or barriers of protection absolutely aids every single consumer.
Yeah.
Like you were mentioning, if we were to look at the stats on cyber attacks, especially during COVID, and it's not just the medical industry, we're talking about financial industries, we're talking about some of the world's largest search engine companies have all been attacked through cyber attacks. And it is important to make sure that our consumers, every single consumer of us, be it our large enterprise consumers, our mid-market customers, as well as our SMB customers, feel a sense of protection. And that is where features like ILO, features like InfoSight that can pick up a possible cyber attack, and it'll aid and help consumers protect the environment, because we know at the moment data is the new currency. And especially with us working all remotely, it is important that we make sure that we protect our data and our environments.
And every little bit helps, I'm sure. Let's move on then, Deshan and Jeremy, to the third category, and that's affordability and sustainability, which I imagine talks right to the challenges facing customers today. And I think we're going to spend a bit of time, probably the most of the time during this podcast, on this particular topic, because HPE has a number of solutions in this area. And I'd like to start, Deshan, with GreenLake, because this is a really cool technology, or a very cool set of solutions, in fact, offered by HPE. Take us through what GreenLake is, what it does, and how it helps end users.
Sure, thank you. So GreenLake, as consumers know, HP has gone through quite a bit of a metamorphosis over the last few years. We our journey has started in 2014 when HP Hewlett Packard, the company as people knew it, separated their business, if you want to call it, between HPI and HPE. And since then, HPE has gone through a metamorphosis in the terms of bolstering its offerings in terms of solution, be it from a compute layer, the networking layer with the acquisition of our Aruba business, some of the storage vendors that we've procured, such as Simplivity, Nimble. And what we've done is, since 2014, we've been growing and growing our portfolio to be able to start looking at the market and looking at our consumers differently. Antonio Neri, our CEO of HPE, is, as recently mentioned, a new journey, a new path that HPE will be going down. So we will still continue to be a manufacturer of hardware technology like we are currently. However, we've got a journey called Everything as a Service. And Everything as a Service offering is basically our GreenLake. We call it GreenLake. Now, what makes HPE slightly unique versus the competition is HPE has our own internet, our own intellectual bank called HPE Financial Financial Services or Solutions. We are able to use our own intellectual capital to offer our consumers a Everything as a Service offering. If we look at the way the world is moving, and we're moving into a consumption-based world, where customers want to buy either software as a service, infrastructure as a service, and have that same cloud-like offering, but on possibly a private cloud, if you know, call it like so. Okay. So what GreenLake helps us do is it helps us take customers down that journey. So we start off initially with GreenLake being an enterprise-only offering. Mm-hmm. However, with the success of GreenLake globally, we are now able to offer GreenLake as an offering to our SMB market as well. And GreenLake is a really affordable way for a consumer to have the Ferrari-type solution that he or she wants, but at the cost of a minimal cost, if you want to call it, or an affordable cost on a monthly basis.
I like the Ferrari analogy, given your background there, Deshan.
But yeah, and I think it's important, you know, Duncan, to mention that a lot of consumers, I mean, Jeremy can tell you, you know, when we start engaging with consumers, it's important to understand what a consumer or a customer is trying to achieve. And a lot of our customers would like to have the Ferrari type solutions. If you're looking at it from a CapEx type environmental perspective, a lot of our customers would like to have the Ferrari type solutions. However, sometimes cost is the stumbling block. GreenLake is the answer to it. GreenLake gives the consumer the opportunity to have that Ferrari type solution, but also make sure that it's affordable.
Jeremy, if a mid-market enterprise or an SME is listening to this podcast now or watching this podcast and they're hearing about HPE GreenLake for the first time, what would you tell them it's about?
I guess the easiest way to sum it up is paying for what you use. So I know that in a particular day, my compute resources maybe aren't very hindered. But as we approach month end, or maybe there's a particular time of month that we have a surge in demand, I need to know that my infrastructure can handle the load that I place on it and isn't going to fall over as soon as it is put to the test.
Yeah.
So I guess in the Ferrari analogy, as soon as you put your foot down, you want to make sure that those resources are available. So GreenLake basically allows you to pay for the compute and storage as you use it. So you basically being billed per gigabyte of memory or storage. Mm-hmm. And so with it, let me get my term right. With GreenLake, you're going to agree to a minimum spend with HPE to say, typically, this is what I'm going to use on a day-to-day basis, which is on average about 80% of what you're currently using of your infrastructure. And then HPE will put in a bit of a buffer to make sure that in those times that you do need to exceed your typical workload, that the resources are available to you. You're also getting linked with data center care. So it's basically the top level of support that HPE offers through its Pointnext division. So yeah, I guess ultimately it's all about making sure that your business can continue to run seamlessly as it needs to.
What typically is the impact on a company's IT expenditure after they deploy these solutions?
So they should see cost savings. So, I mean, typically in, well, I suppose with IT solutions, if you're looking to keep, well, you have to work out your total cost of ownership. So you're going to buy your infrastructure and say, cool, I need to sweat this asset for the next 3 to 5 years. Maybe I can extend it to 7 or 10 years, depending on how my business grows. The problem with that is you're having to outlay all this capital up front. So a lot of the time, the majority of these resources aren't used. So typically you're buying these massive processors with tons of memory, all the storage, and that investment is sitting idle for probably the first 1 to 2 years of the investment. So what GreenLake does, it allows that, well, it allows you to have that infrastructure available to you, but you're only paying for it when you need it. So I suppose you can put the capital where it's needed rather than just making an investment in, well, what's it? Making an investment in case the need arises.
It sounds like a no-brainer. It sounds like something that CFOs would jump at.
Absolutely. And I think that's where the world is moving towards. We consumers are looking to, like Jeremy mentioned, why use up your business cash flow when you can rather take that and invest it into your own business? And by adopting a GreenLake strategy or everything as a service strategy, you are able to move your business requirements and business demands on an operational expenditure versus a CapEx expenditure. And like Jeremy mentioned, you can have the solution on demand. So you use it as you grow with it. So when you're not using it, it's fine. When you need it, it's there to be used. Some of the very cool technology, and our listeners are probably wondering, so how does HPE monitor how much I use? So we've acquired a company called Cloud Cruiser, and Cloud Cruiser basically helps us monitor the solution. So it's a real-time live monitoring, and it tells us, for example, Jeremy's environment at the moment is utilizing 20 terabytes of the storage, but on week 3 of the month, he actually moved up to 30 terabytes, which means the delta is 10 terabytes. So then we start billing Jeremy for the 10 terabytes that he used for it. So it's once he opens that door, he then goes on and starts consuming it.
So, Deshan, you have another HPE rather has a number of other solutions in the space. Maybe take us through those quickly. I'm specifically looking at MSA, AMD EPYC, and Nimble Adaptive Flash.
Perfect. So as we've recently launched our sixth generation of our MSA storage offering. Now, MSA storage is a very specific storage solution, a traditional three-tier architecture storage solution that's been aimed at our SMB market. We do understand that our SMB consumers are no longer the traditional SMB consumers of yesteryear. They are quite advanced if you're looking at the amount of advanced applications that we're running currently. We needed to make sure that as HP, we offer consumers the intelligent platform that can match it. So our MSA storage, which is our entry-level storage, has gone through a metamorphosis as well and an advancement. So we've come up with some controller upgrades. We've come up with some mixed disk offerings that consumers could use. So we're looking at a spinning disk, and we're also looking at a flash type offering that customers can use. And I mean, MSA has its place in the market. MSA is a very versatile product that could be used for a variety of workloads. It could be used, for example, as your traditional production storage environment. It could be used for backup for not just SMB customers, but also for your mid-market customers, where you could use it for backup environments. EPYC and AMD is a very interesting topic. Now, from an HPE perspective, we remain agnostic as far as CPU manufacturers are concerned.
Right.
We have strategic relationships with both HP, with AMD, as well as Intel. AMD recently launched their EPYC architecture processors, which is quite unique and offers consumers a different value add as opposed to Intel. Both are very worthy competitors. And from an HP perspective, do we favor one over the other? No, we don't. We basically give the consumer the opportunity to choose. So from an AMD perspective, we are able now to offer consumers from our DL325 or DL365 range of offerings some very unique solutions that come in with a different value add depending on the type of application workload that you will run on it. For example, if you're running an Oracle database, if you're running a VMware database, and as we know at the moment, everything from a licensing perspective is priced on a per core basis. So the EPIC, AMD EPIC architecture helps address that that market because of the way their architecture is designed. Mm-hmm. Intel have also come out with their generation 10 CPUs, which Xeon CPUs, which also aids in that market as well.
Okay, and I believe there's licensing cost savings as well associated with AMD EPIC's platform.
Yeah, absolutely. So especially during, especially when we see it in an Oracle environment, like I mentioned earlier, my customer Siemens is pretty much very focused on their solutions with Oracle. And they're currently undergoing an exercise where they are trying to explore what will be the cost savings benefits. And at this point in time, I don't have the statistics to share with you, but I can tell you we are going down that journey because they can see the values that it can offer them.
Mm. Okay. And lastly, just very briefly, Nimble Adaptive Flash.
So I will allow Jeremy to speak a lot more on that because it's a lot more technical. But basically, Adaptive Flash, if we look at our Nimble HF20, the HF20H Nimble solution is the smallest solution that we have to offer from the Nimble stack. However, Adaptive Flash, what this does is it gives consumers the ability to have a main production storage solution with some Adaptive Flash technology in it that can help boost their I/O performance workloads on a daily basis. So they don't experience any, in enterprise, the swear word is called latency. So it helps reduce the latency on an environment. I will allow Jeremy to speak more about it from a technical perspective.
Yeah, well, I suppose HP's got a good way to call it around closing the app data gap, and it's about shortening that latency. So the two offerings from Nimble is your all-flash arrays, where everything is flash-based. But in this case, where we talk about secondary flash, you still have the benefit of the fact that your servers are first writing to storage class memory. So all the all your access data access work is running on that storage class memory. When it's not in the storage class memory, it's sitting in DRAM, which is also a very fast form of storage. And then at the very bottom of the tier, you've got spinning disk. So instead of having to pay for the much faster SSDs of the all-flash array, your data is stored on the spinning disk. So you still get all the benefit of the storage, all the speed benefits of storage class memory and DRAM, but without having to get that massive cost of the SSDs just because your data is sitting on spinning disk. Plus it has all the benefit of, I suppose the intelligence that Nimble adds to its solutions. So your data is being written sequentially, it's being deduplicated and compressed before it's being written to disk. So you end up having a lot less wear on your disk over time. So your hardware is going to last a lot longer. It's also only making changes to, for those sequential writes that it actually writes to disk, where there are changes, it's only changing the blocks that are required. So it's never writing additional data for the sake of a write. It's only writing where necessary. It also looks at your actual usage and sees what your hot data is, what sort of data your servers are accessing most frequently, and it makes sure that data is more readily available than anything else. So it's going to move, it'll either be storing that data somewhere in your cache on the storage class memory or the DRAM, and it basically just moves it around as it's required.
Do we, out of interest, do you think that spinning disk is going to go away at some point, or is the price just so compelling that it's going to stay in the market for decades to come?
I do believe eventually we're going to move away from it. It's a great platform, but the cost of SSDs is coming down so drastically, and just the reliability that SSD offers, I think we will eventually move away from it completely.
Yeah. Do you think flash storage will eventually be cheaper as a proposition than spinning disk?
I think we'll get there. I mean, when the first memory sticks came out, for example, I remember paying 800 Rand for a 256 megabyte flash drive.
Yes.
And then a year later, I bought a 2 terabyte drive for 200 Rand, which is just like, what? but yeah, the cost is definitely coming down just because I guess the manufacturers are becoming so much better at putting more data onto these little pieces of silicon.
Yeah.
And just as the technology evolves, it's just becoming more reliable. I think the trends will start to show that more now.
Yeah. Someone actually showed me a 2 terabyte thumb drive the other day. I was blown away. I think wasn't particularly cheap though, but it'll get there eventually, I'm sure. Deshan, let me bring you back in to cover very briefly the final category, and that's IT storage with predictability. What does HPE offer in that area?
Yeah, so from a nimble storage perspective and with our flagship product, so we recently launched our flagship product, which is Primera Storage. Primera is 100% uptime guarantee. It is important for consumers to be able to predict their growth patterns. So like as mentioned, you know, we do incorporate InfoSight on all of our offerings. So it's not just the nimble storage, but it's also now included in the Primera storage. And basically what the InfoSight does is it works with machine learning on the background to try and help a customer predict their environment. So, I mean, as we know, machine learning is an algorithm subset of artificial intelligence that understands and learns a customer's behavior on a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, and so forth. And then it starts helping a customer to depict trends on where they are in going in terms of their storage growth. So with intelligent platforms like Primera Storage and Nimble, the mid-range Nimble storage and above, it helps customers plan their growth spurts. So for example, if we had to look at, and we were chatting on the topic now of flash storage, you know, we do know sometimes some consumers still buy storage with their workload capacities that they need with a slight buffer.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need to, you use up your buffer faster. The cost of adding on flash can be expensive. And I think by having intelligent storage to help you plan that cycle is going to be a massive benefit. The other angles that we are using to address it is also from a support perspective. We use the artificial intelligence and the machine learning algorithm on the back end to try and help plan for support. Because as we know, the support of a solution actually becomes more expensive as the infrastructure ages out. So we're able to use our predictive analytics to try and help counter that expense. On both the Primera, the 3PAR, and also the Nimble platform as well. And then we also have lastly something called Timeless, which is the controller upgrades that we offer. So Timeless is something that we offer on the Nimble offering, and it's something that a consumer could buy upfront, and it is available from our HF20 Nimble offering up the stack to the HF40s, the 3PARs and so forth. And what Timeless basically does is it gives a consumer the option of having, after 3 years of having a controller upgrade to the newer version of the controller that HPE has to offer on that particular product. So for example, if a consumer buys a Nimble HF40 version 1 controller now, in 3 years time, they could do, if they have procured Timeless now, in 3 years from now, they could go on the HF40 version 3 or version 4 controller that is available to them at zero cost.
Okay. So great, great cost savings there. Jeremy, any thoughts on this final category we're discussing?
So just further to what Deshan was saying, there's actually a guaranteed 25% performance boost with that Timeless controller upgrade. So it kind of does help with, as your business is growing, you suddenly have all this capacity available to you.
Yeah. Great stuff. Well, there we go. Lots to absorb. I think you may want to go back and listen to this podcast a second time, actually, because we have covered a lot of ground this morning. But Jeremy, Deshan, before I let you guys go, I know you wanted to cover we spoke about the Siemens case study in Ghana, but there is an example, a case study of a food company client of yours in the Eastern Cape. Deshan, tell me what HPE and Pinnacle have done for that company.
Yeah, absolutely. So our SMB and mid-market business is quite key for us and quite interesting. Every single day, we're learning something different, especially from our consumers. So we currently embarked on a journey with a food manufacturing consumer down in the Eastern Cape, and we were able to offer them a solution that met their needs. So as in the example of the Ferrari, we were able to give this consumer, initially they started off on a journey where they wanted some service, some MSA storage, some networking to try and create an environment for their new food manufacturing plant. By offering them HPE financial solutions, by offering them Nimble HF20, which is a big drive for HPE at the moment, we were able to give this consumer the Ferrari type solution that they wanted. We worked together with our value-added distributors, we worked with our value-added partner, and we were able to offer this customer the solution that they wanted. We were able to offer it to them from a financial services perspective that was very competitive to them. And when that decision went up to their CFO to have a look at the figures and the return on investment, the return on investment was very appealing to him, and it was an immediate sign off on that solution and that project.
Okay, yep. Cool stuff. So before I let you guys go, if anyone's listening to this or watching this podcast and they want to learn more, what's the best way to reach both you, Deshana, and you, Jeremy?
So HPE is a channel-centric organization. We do work with our channel resellers. Any HPE individual or employee is 100% contactable directly. You're more than welcome to contact us at HPE South Africa. If there's any pricing requests or any solution requests, please, we encourage our listeners to work with our HPE channel resellers. We encourage you to work with our HPE value-added distributor like Pinnacle. We have great value adds to offer any reseller or any consumer a solution that they're looking for.
Jeremy?
Well, I suppose from our side, you could just pop an email through to hpe@pinnacle.co.za, and then we can try and assist you from there. It is quite important to say that we can only sell to resellers. So we are basically there to align with your existing IT provider to make sure that you get the right solution for your business. Okay. I suppose a good point to mention is that when you don't know what you want to do, or if you can't quite figure out what's right for your business, that's where we can come in and work with your IT providers or run an assessment on your environment and figure out exactly what the correct solution from HPE stack is. Well, for your business.
Excellent. Thanks, guys, for your time. This has been a fascinating discussion. Deshan Woodley is, let me get your title correct here because it is a long one. Deshan, you are Business Development Manager at HPE for the mid-market enterprise as well as the company's worldwide tech pro lead in the South African market. And Jeremy Lichtenstein, is it Lichtenstein or Lichtenstein?
Lichtenstein.
Lichtenstein. Jeremy Lichtenstein is HPE Solutions Architect, and he, of course, is with Pinnacle. Thanks for your time today.